The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, has unveiled new marketing regulations for Medicare Advantage plans. Mary Agnes, can you tell us about that?
With a new enrollment season from the Medicare drug benefit set to begin November 15th, CMS officials have announced new marketing rules that they said would help prevent marketing abuses that some plans have used to pressure beneficiaries. Two of the regulations, for example, would prohibit telemarketing or other unsolicited sales contacts. Financial incentives that encourage agents to push beneficiaries into plans with higher sales commissions or to move a beneficiary into a different plan each year would be prohibited. Insurers must comply with the new regulations by October the 1st, well before the next enrollment period for the Medicare drug benefit begins November 15th.
How will CMS monitor Medicare Advantage plans to ensure that they abide by the new rule?
Acting CMS Administrator Kerry Weems said that the agency would triple its secret shopper activities where a Medicare official poses as a prospective enrollee, but instead is monitoring a sales agent's presentation for items such as inaccurate information or sales activities that are prohibited by the new rules. Health plans' print and broadcast advertisements will be reviewed, as will plans' efforts to detect, report, and respond to inappropriate activity by their sales agents.
What was the reaction on Capitol Hill?
Lawmakers praised the CMS announcement, but they emphasized that the agency must vigorously enforce these new requirements. The marketing practices of Medicare Advantage plans have been a concern to many members, and I expect that this scrutiny will continue on Capitol Hill.
It looks like there's movement on the issue of mental health parity. Mary Agnes, can you give us the highlights?
For months, financing has been the big issue in this bill since House and Senate negotiators had reached a compromise on parity proposals over the summer. Senate leaders recently announced a tax package that included financing for the mental health parity legislation. The tax bill would extend dozens of expired provisions, expand incentives for alternative energy sources, rather, and spare millions from paying the alternative minimum tax. In the House, Democratic leaders intend to move mental health parity as a standalone measure, with the cost of the bill offset by less controversial tax provisions than those that are in the Senate package.
Does that mean the mental health parity bill will pass before Congress adjourns for the year?
That's unclear. In the Senate, one senator could stop the package due to concerns over policy or the price tag. For example, one offset, which would have put a ban on specialty hospitals, and these are facilities that specialize in a specific line of treatment or procedure, was taken out due to concerns from some senators. While the parity measure is expected to pass the House, it will have to be reconciled with the Senate package.
How will this all play out?
One scenario is that the mental health bill passes in the House as a standalone measure, but members are forced to consider it again if the Senate, as expected, approves the tax package with the mental health parity included in that bill. Now, if that's the case, some fiscally conservative Blue Dog Democrats have said that they will not back the tax package in the House unless it's completely paid for or offset, and parts of the Senate tax bill are not. Now keep in mind, there's a lot of pressure to move the parity bill by the end of the year, so stay tuned.
The House Energy and Commerce Committee recently approved a package of health care bills dealing with breast cancer and insurance coverage. Could you summarize that for us, Mary Agnes?
The panel passed 11 health-related measures that Chairman John Dingell, a Democrat of Michigan, said that he would push hard to get through Congress before it adjourns for the year. One would bar health insurance companies from limiting hospital stays to less than 48 hours for patients who've had a mastectomy or a lumpectomy, and to less than 24 hours for those who've had a lymph node dissection for the treatment of breast cancer. Another measure the panel approved would prevent insured individuals from losing coverage for inadvertently failing to disclose information on an insurance application about an unrelated treatment or condition.
And the other bills?
They include a measure that would authorize an increase from $2 million to $7 million annually for the Organ Procurement and Transplantation Network. The bill was renamed for the late Stephanie Tubbs Jones, a Democrat of Ohio, who died from a brain aneurysm on August the 20th. The Congresswoman was a committed supporter of organ transplantation and was an organ and tissue donor herself. Another bill the committee passed would bar online pharmacies from dispensing prescriptions in most cases to people who have not been seen in person by the prescribing physician, while another measure would create a loan program for public or nonprofit hospitals to establish residency training programs for doctors.
Mary Agnes, with Congress likely headed out of town at the end of this month to campaign for the November elections, what other health care measures should we be watching?
House Democratic leaders hope to attach additional Medicaid funding for states to a piece of must-pass legislation, with possibilities including an end-of-the-session spending bill that would keep the government operating into the new year. Bills are pending in the House and Senate to increase the use of health information technology, but the fate of those measures remains unclear. Ways and Means Health Subcommittee Chairman Pete Stark, a Democrat of California, introduced his own version of health IT legislation, which would create a system of incentives for speedy adoption of health information technology and penalties for providers who delay.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.